Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you and keep you. Lord, please bless us today, Lord. Help us to understand the things you're saying to us. And thank you for opening our understanding and giving us grace, Lord, and pouring out your Spirit upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to continue with Death Separates the Fleshly from the Spiritual. This will be number 10. And we're going to start with the revelation given to Andrew Galinus on 7/5/21. And we called it Clean Up to Escape Faction Attack. Amen. Well, this dream is a warning against being distracted while faction attacks are planned against the body, and we should be getting cleaned up so that we will be able to have the power to do spiritual warfare against it. And besides that, God is using faction to cleanse his body, separate his body. If we won't be busy in the cleansing, we'll probably get separated in one form or another. Okay. So, Andrew said, in my dream, our home was like a high-rise condo. Well, a condominium, called condo for short, is a privately owned individual unit within a community of other units. In other words, it's kind of like the body of Christ here, except in this smaller case, it seems to be, in the text, the body of UBM. All right. It was nothing like the real house that we rent. I started walking to our bathroom. Obviously, this in type is to be getting cleaned up and to get rid of spiritual waste, right? I started walking to our bathroom by walking through an outside breezeway. My Biden-supporting neighbor, his door was across from my bathroom and was closed. I could hear him talking with someone inside. Well, you know, the factious hide and shoot at the righteous from darkness. Psalm 11:2, for lo, the wicked bend the bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. Then it was as if he sensed me outside, because he began to speak in a quiet, cautious tone. And that's because of these wicked, the righteous must be cleaned up to escape their traps, which they will fall into themselves, usually, according to the Word of God. And it can't be broken. Then I went into my bathroom. So there's the plotting and scheming going on while he's going into the bathroom. In the natural, we have a small bathroom with a small bathtub shower. And this bathroom in the dream was more like a professional sports team clubhouse shower. It was very large, with multiple shower heads in the large walk-in and large steamy jacuzzi that looked very inviting, with jets churning the warm water. And all obviously this represents a larger bathroom for a larger group of people, right? And then I disrobed to take a shower when an older woman in a white towel came around the corner. I would have already been showered and clean and dressed in a white garment of my own by now if I hadn't let myself become distracted with all the nice features of the bathroom. Well, This is one of the themes going through this revelation, is people being distracted from the things that are important, which is really getting cleaned up now. Okay. This startled me, and then half a dozen other neighbors quickly came into the large shower room, and I thought to myself, what in the world? They were all very friendly, but I didn't feel comfortable with all these other people in there with me while I was indecent. I covered myself the best I could while my neighbors discussed a sort of schedule for when each person would take their turn to shower. In other words, everybody wants to get cleaned up here, you know. It was now apparent to me that our shower room was, in fact, a communal bathhouse, and we shared with our neighbors in UBM. And this, of course, can represent larger UBM, I believe. And the way Christians get cleaned up is by openly confessing their nakedness, which represents sin, and confessing it to others. It's a communal cleansing. James 5:16 says, confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man, that's one is cleaned up, availeth much in its working. 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This walking in the light, by the way, includes confession of sins. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For this reason, demon-possessed people will not confess their sins. It is because the demons in them don't want to lose their house. Because when they confess their sins, God cleanses them. So these people are very quick to blame everybody else for their problems. Yeah, they're demon possessed. Then my wife came into the room and said something to her friend who was standing to my right. The 30-something-year-old man had dark brown hair, a short, trimmed beard, and wore a ball cap with the bill low down on his forehead. And he has a note here. He said, it looked like Jesus keeping a low profile. Well, let me say, Jesus is not being lifted up or admired because other material things are being lifted up and admired. These are those distractions that he was talking about, right? Things that are more important. What God is saying is there's nothing more important than getting cleaned up right now. Nothing. My wife then showed him and I a Hot Wheels toy car. The toy car was new and in its cardboard and plastic package. Well, cars can represent a vehicle and a mode of transportation, which our natural life is for the spiritual man. Our natural life, of course, is just a vehicle for the spiritual man to do what he's supposed to do. But cars also are a thing that are admired. You know, kids like the little toy cars and so on and so forth. They're a thing that is admired and the thing that can distract. And I think she got it as a gift for one of our sons, okay? And when she handed it to me, I used the rectangular-shaped pack to feebly try to cover myself. Most people do cover their nakedness with distracting things. Well, I'm talking about their sins, right? With distracting things that are admired by men. I mean, people get caught up in admiring the worldly things and doing the worldly things and loving the worldly things at the expense of them getting cleaned up. And covering our sin does not get rid of it, as repentance and confession of sin does. I did this with an uncomfortable smirk, as it was obviously not going to give me much help. And then the man to my right, who had a very comforting presence, said in a soft, empathetic tone, "It's time to call on Jesus." Yes, I say, when you are distracted and you need his help to get your attention on the things that count, like getting rid of sin, it's time to call on Jesus. I was reminded of Revelation 3:18. "I advise you to buy of me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see." So obviously the Lord is into revealing nakedness when people try to hide it. And that's one reason he turns people over to faction, because boy, do they fall into a lot of sin then, and everybody can see it. Okay. Then the scene changed. The same group and I were now standing on the ground level outside in the building's parking area. And there was an identical apartment building 100 or so yards across the way from ours. Well, 100 means something always when you find it in the scriptures. I believe that this other place over there on the other side is the place of our opponents, who are 100% opposite and opposing to us. Suddenly, a news helicopter began flying overhead. Everyone started to scatter when the news chopper quickly began descending down towards our group. I knew it was going to attempt to kill us with its spinning blades, and it was called a chopper. So this attack by the news chopper, I believe, represents several things going on at one time that are an attempt to spiritually kill us. And because the most important thing, as I say, is getting cleaned up. First of all, the spinning blade. Spinning is what people do to the truth to make it into a lie that makes them look good, right? Blades of a chopper are used to divide and to destroy, to dismember, as we've discovered the Lord uses a term against the faction, dismember people. There is character assassination against the right through the factious deep state false news, through the chopper's airwaves. For instance, choppers use the airwaves like internet, TV, radio, or otherwise. So all these methods are used by the faction in the government to slander. Also, the false news of the religious faction is slander and divides those attacked by witchcraft. Also, the news junkie spirit, as we've shared warnings several times from the Lord, to not get caught up and distracted by the news junkie spirit. And we've warned and warned and warned, but people again get caught up in it. And anyway, it distracts from the cleaning up and the spiritual warfare that we should be doing. It also causes many to be leavened with competitiveness and desires to war against flesh and blood. You know, you get caught up in all that stuff and you get mad at these foolish people and you want to jump in there and do something foolish when God himself is the one that's in control, right? And for these reasons, even the declassification of the sins of the deep state, which they are doing on the internet and will be done over TV for several days from what we've heard, and is a leaven to the spiritual man of the Christian. Stop and think about it. We already know what evil they have done. We don't need to study it deeply and spend a lot of time on it. The time we need right now for cleaning up. And for those who are in total darkness because they only watch mainstream media on TV, there is a certain value to this declassification in opening their eyes to what they really have been pledging allegiance to here, right? So we who know need to concentrate on things like Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the rebellious will not listen to this word. They are, you know, steadfastly going to spend their time, wasting their time. Romans 16 and 19 says, I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple unto that which is evil. In other words, you don't have to study the evil. If you already know it's there, that's enough. And then I turned around and I saw that one woman had split from the group. Yep, these things is what causes this, this sin. It is paying attention to and get caught up in things of the world and so on. So she split from the group. And I believe she represents those who faction away from Christ and UBM with factious words and spirits that leaven others. Judges 1, 18 and 19 says that they said to you, in the last time there shall be mockers walking after their own ungodly lusts. Yes, it's a lust to want to keep up with everything going on in the news. It will destroy you. It will not feed your spiritual man what he needs to grow up and be strong. Verse 19, these are they who make separations. There it is. Sensual, having not the Spirit. Yes, they do not have the Spirit of God. James 3, 14 through 16 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This is what happens when a person has faction. They lie against the truth. That's why he's given this warning. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. In other words, demoniacal. Okay. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. It is true. The whole list covers their nature and life. The whole list of what do bad people do. And Romans 2 and 8. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, because if you are factious, you will not obey the word of God. In fact, you will not even read it. But obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. Where? From the Lord, right? Titus 3, 10 and 11 says, a factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. Yes, they will blame everybody else, but the problem that put them in that position is themselves, okay? You will first recognize the people infected by faction because they will slowly withdraw from fellowshipping with you or going to meetings or whatever, they will slowly back away, and they'll do this until they're gone. They usually start with a spirit of rejection and fear of rejection, but not always. Sometimes it's just immorality they're hiding, sins that they're hiding, that makes God, you know, force them out in the open and show their sins to everybody. They will not be able to stand the teaching or correction. The first thing they quit doing is listening to our teachings. Yeah. And they will take no correction. They explode with a correction. Yeah. They ultimately give up any ministry to the body, and they seek out the world and false teachers. This is all consistent. They will find the dumbest excuses to separate from you, but in every case it is because of unforgiveness, for which they lose God's forgiveness. Their demons hate David, and he always becomes their biggest enemy, even when he is trying his best to save them from the reprobation that he knows is coming, right? So in gross anarchy, they refuse to obey the word or the elders. And by the way, look at what's going on in the world. It's anarchy. BLM, Antifa, you know, people breaking the law and doing, lawyers breaking the law, governors breaking the law, totally ignoring the law. That's what those demons do to people. They infect their whole family, and even the children become rebellious, and even the grandchildren become rebellious. I'm talking about they infect their whole family. Now people say, oh, it won't happen, it won't happen, but you just watch them and watch it happen. Yes, there are some righteous people out there that don't get taken in, and they correct these people. They don't sit and listen to them, they correct them. First and second admonition, refuse, right? After a first and second admonition, refuse. In other words, don't get around them. Don't listen to them. They don't forgive, so they are not forgiven and have no way to pay for the debt of their sins. You hear me? They have no way, because of unforgiveness, to pay for the debt of their sins. Matthew 18 and 25 says, but for as much as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Oh my. And this is what happens with them, their wives, their children, etc. So, you can see, watch them go downhill. That infection enters the family, it takes them all down. In fact, when I asked the Lord, why, Lord, does it take them all down, you know? He gave me that verse. She was fleeing in terror from the attack by running through an open field between the two buildings, but in an angle towards the opposite building belonging to the faction. Yes. Jesus said, the field is the world. That's where they go. They go to the world. They go back to the world that they came out of. Back to Egypt, so to speak. And God warned them not to go back to Egypt. If you do, you're going to die there. Well, that's what happens. They are far more worldly and sinful than before they knew the Lord. Nobody can get further from the Lord than a person who has been to the Lord and turned away. I'm telling you. She is fleeing towards the opposite factious building, thinking that her safety is there, but reprobation is there. It reminded me of when a lion causes a weak, this is again his revelation, his note here. It reminded me of when a lion causes a weak member of a cattle herd to break away from the herd and sprint in a random pattern until it's finally taken down. Yes, that's true. That's what it reminds you of. And he goes on, but the woman only made it a few feet before she got hit. We were horrified when we saw her get instantly vaporized into a red cloud by the tilted spinning blades. Well, you know, Esau, who was factious against his brother, his seed was called Edom, which means red. So we're talking here about the factious. Red. Red also represents sin, though our sins be as scarlet, you know, and anarchy. And these are all the nature of Edom, who factioned against their chosen brother Israel. And they do it today too. And we will be destroyed for this, as the scriptures say over and over. You know, the first verse that we got in our prayer meeting the morning I received this was Jeremiah 48 and 40. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle, and shall spread out his wings against Moab. Now this is God using the eagle called Babylon to take down a faction against Israel. And it was Moab, a brother. Moab, the children of Lot, right? So, the deep state's vaccine plague is taking down many Edomites, for they have no faith in God. Zero. They don't read the word. The demons won't let them. And God will use the witchcraft of the faction to destroy those who turn towards them instead of rebuking them. You know, when somebody starts spewing out, you rebuke them. Vaporized. Just think about it. It's a process of death by turning from physical into unseen gas, vaporized. It represents death by turning against nature to evil spirits. In other words, totally taken over by evil spirits, which cannot be seen, right? In this being dead to God and all good state, they destroy many by their words of criticism, slander, judgment, doing the very things that they accuse others of, as you've noticed of the very clear representations of them on the news, these people, how they talk. And they are always found guilty of exactly what they're accusing, well, for instance, Trump of. They were all found guilty. And such hypocrites, people get disgusted with hypocrites, but these are the worst hypocrites, shown to be the worst hypocrites out there. And this is so subtle a spirit that none of these people have ever believed that they have faction. But everybody outside looking in can tell it. Their conscience becomes more and more seared until they do the most evil things, and they think they can hide it, and they can't, and they get caught. Just like our faction has, got caught in so many very evil sins. All kinds of perversion, theft, on and on. I don't have time to read the list. Then the rest of the group, he said, who were running just ahead of me, quickly made a beeline for the only door on the ground floor of our UBM building. But when they got close to the doors, we looked up and saw that a car was set up as a sort of booby trap atop the opposing building. Well, the top of the opposing building, you might say that's the head, the leadership, whatever, you know. But a car was set up as a booby trap there. Well, a trap by the religious faction against us is what's implied here. Cars are vehicles and types of our natural lives, which are the spiritual man's mode and way of transportation.
right?
So this car represents those who lay snares for the righteous, but whom God declares will fall into their own traps, as he says in the scriptures over and over and over. And just as the group began to scramble inside, the car was launched off of the rooftop with an aim to explode and kill us all below. Of course, this is talking about spiritual death, not necessarily physical death, although we have seen physical deaths come to the factious. And we've seen them, through their faction, kill people. Because when people began to not forgive, they were not forgiven, and judgment came upon them and killed them. So there is a natural aspect to it. And but this falling off of the top, this is a falling away of a body of the sons of perdition, Judas. And they die for their treachery against the body of Christ, just as Judas did. So this falling away is to try to bring judgment against others who take their poison, right? Well, each one of these falling aways has taken others with them. And make no mistake, the demons in them want to kill you as their spiritual fathers did Jesus. They want to kill you in a spiritual way. They want to lead you away from the truth and impart demons to you. Then, as this had all been a movie, the scene changed to home video footage of a father and his daughter playing together on her bedroom floor. The girl looked to be no older than 8 or 9 years old. They had arranged a series of small mounds on the floor. Each mound was a different color and appeared to be made of quarter-sized chunks of dried paper pulp, like the substance that's converted into paper goods, such as egg cartons or fast food cup holder trays. The two had poured a thin trail network of gunpowder that led directly through each little mound to set off a kind of pyrotechnic domino effect. They both seemed to be having a fun and happy father-daughter time as they were setting this all up. And then I had the sense that when the little girl was about to ignite the gunpowder trail, it was simultaneously going to set off the previous described attacks at the apartment building. And that's when I woke up. Now, what I take from this is a father is warning his little children. Those who have gone through this a few times are older and wiser, but he's warning his little children to not get distracted by worldly things, but to seek to be cleansed of sin so that we can escape a chain of fiery events which they would then be able to bind and pray down. Seeking the Lord makes you powerful. Some are asking why all the delays in the SARA and the GCR. And I'll tell you, because the Father told me, it's because people are distracted from seeking first the kingdom of heaven in their lives and do not deserve this blessing. The body is leavened, and either sin must be thrown out or the sinner must be thrown out. You understand? So the body can be blessed. God's way of throwing the sinner out is turning them over to Satan by faction, meaning separation from the body. And this is for the body's sake. And this is so because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and evil companionships corrupt good morals. So God knows this, and he wants to save his people. So he discards these people. And he's warning you that they will try to get you dismembered, cut off like the blades, right? They want to dismember you. That's what they want to do. So, take the warning. Don't get distracted right now, especially at this time right now. And another revelation we received here was from Claire Pinar, 7:2:21. Some of the immature Christians will perish. Now, we're not talking about baby Christians. We're talking about immature Christians. Immature Christians can be people who may be old in the Lord, but they refuse to mature. They refuse to grow up. They refuse to eat the word so that it puts to death their old man. They don't want to die. They want to continue on doing things the way they do it. So they're immature Christians, okay? But even as a baby Christian, if you're following after the Lord, desiring after him, loving him, and hating sin, you're okay. So I wanted to make that distinction here. I dreamed I was in a 3-bedroom apartment building. Well, I know the rest of the dream, okay? But this apartment building represents the factious, apostate religious system that many so-called Christians are a part of. The denominations are factions. They all factioned away from one another because of some goofy thing, usually, or sometimes it was a good thing, but it didn't lead to good, you know. So Isaiah 5:8 says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no room, and you be made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. In mine ears, says the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant." Yep, you know what? The Lord is departing from houses of people. A house can be a household. It can be an individual house. It should be a house of God. He is departing. It's an abomination that maketh desolate. Verse 13, Therefore, my people are gone into captivity for lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude are parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol hath enlarged its desire, and opened its mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth among them, descend into it. Yeah, reminds you of Korah rebellion. They descended into hell. Okay, verse 15. And the mean man is bowed down, the great man is humbled, and the eyes of the lofty are humbled. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, that justify the wicked for a bribe, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. That's what they do. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devoureth the stubble, and as the dry grass sinketh down in the flame, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. So we're talking about his people who are apostate, factious, whatever. And he has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the mountains tremble, and their dead bodies are a refuse in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Yes, if you look at the natural side, you can tell exactly what's happening. They're still executing people by the hundreds that are in the deep state. And it's for their very gross evil, which is also in the church faction. Same gross evil is in the church faction. So anyway, that's God using vessels that he can use to take these people down. And he's doing it. It's God doing it. One of the rooms was for a younger girl who looked a little dirty. She was mentally slow. Well, all of the faction are mentally slow. We call them that because we call them the stupid demons. The demons make them stupid. And dirty is unclean here. This is an unclean person. And this woman had curly brown shoulder-length hair. The curly brown hair might represent those who have a spirit of rebellion. And she represents a type of the immature Christians still caught up in the traditions of men. Well, let me think. Curly brown hair in dreams represents being submitted to confusion and darkness. If you remember the brown shirts, the brown shirts were very much like the factious. And they rebel against every law. You know, they do their own very self-willed actions. This woman represents a body of people who have been mentally or spiritually retarded by the apostate leadership because of their false doctrines that don't allow for a healthy spiritual development and maturity. Yes, Matthew 23:13-15. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye enter not in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to enter. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, even while for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive greater condemnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he has become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves. And this is happening. There was a large room on the opposite end of the living room that belonged to two young men. And this is, of course, representing two enemies. The flesh nature of the old man, and also the factious apostate leadership in the church. They are the opposite of the living. They are spiritually dead. And they try to kill others, as we will see in this dream. By the way, these people didn't come together on their dreams. You know, it's a matter of fact. The Lord brought them these dreams, and they sent them, and we received them, and it was at the right timings where we could recognize that they're, you know, they're kin. So they tried to look clean with pale blue shirts and khaki pants, but they were sweating so much. They were unshaven and had very pale skin, looking like zombies. Well, they pretty much are dead men walking. The sweat could be a reaction from stress. Serving Satan or the flesh comes with loads of stress. These men might represent the false preachers or teachers in the modern uniform that we see today from the pulpit. Yes, that is a uniform. Romans 12:2. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So renew your mind with the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Chew it. Dissolve it. Let it be a part of your body, because it will keep you. And of course, the first thing these people do is quit reading the Word of God, or quit listening to anybody that preaches it. 2 Timothy 3:1-7 says, "But know this, that in the last days," that's where we are, "grievous times shall come," they have, "for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers," that means speaking against others, that's all they do, "disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," this is true, they only have lust, "implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away." Amen. "For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins," and they are doing it, "led away by divers lusts," and these are the ones that get captured, "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth," especially after these spirits come upon you. You will never come to truth. "The other room was supposed to be for me, but I wasn't expected until 2 p.m. the following day." 2 represents division. The Lord will separate the bride from the factious and the immature apostates. This 2 p.m. could also represent the 2,000 years since Christ came the first time. He is coming again after this 2,000-year period as the latter rain anointing on his man-child and bride bodies on the morning of the third 1,000-year day. Hosea 6:1-3. "Come, let us return unto the Lord." This is what we need to be doing right now. "Return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, or 2,000 years, will he revive us. And on the third day," that's the morning of the third 1,000-year day, which is where we are now, "he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning." We're talking about the morning of the third day now, where we are now. "And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth." Now they're looking for him to come in the sky, which he does not until the end of the tribulation period. This is how he's coming first, as the latter rain. Who's going to get the latter rain first? Who got the former rain first? It was Jesus. Who's going to get the latter rain first? Jesus in the man-child. That's going to be the correction, and that's going to be the judgment upon the Edomites and so on. "As I walked into this apartment, I immediately saw that these two men were trying to kill the younger woman." That's the one that was slow, right? "They had planned it and meditated on it, but they were treating her well so that she would trust them." That's what they do, yes. They come on very slick, you know. "They were luring her in. They planned to butcher her that night. In the dream, I had a vision of this young woman completely chopped up." There it is, just like the chopper, right? "It was very bloody and grotesque." What is this chopping up? It is a dismembering. We've had many dreams about it. It is what the faction are expert at. Dismembering people from the body of Christ. That's their only ministry. And as in Andrew's revelation above, where the helicopter dismembered the factious woman who fled from our group, these cults separate members from the body that they need to be in, to be a part of, in order to grow up, and they separate them, in effect, spiritually killing them. Okay. Then in the dream, it came to me. That's what they want to do with everyone. She is not the first and won't be the last. In other words, kill everyone. That's what they want to do. That's what the demons in them do, spiritually kill everyone they're able to deceive. I looked at the other room that was supposed to be mine. The white door was locked. But in a vision, I could see that there were two people lying dead in there. There was blood everywhere. They're guilty of the blood of the saints. They are. One was a blonde woman, and the other was her husband or partner. I saw how they had screamed and fought to get out of that room during the attack, but they were trapped in there and were now dead. These two men had done it. They lived only to kill. That's what they do. They seem to be psychopathic serial killers. I could smell death approaching. I knew if I entered that room, my end might be similar. Well, many people have been trapped and taken captive by the factious spirits in the rebellious who have rejected the word of God. And hanging around these people will kill our spirit man through listening to their lies and slander. Romans 3:10 through 18 says, "And as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They have all turned aside. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." This is so true. No fear of God whatsoever. They don't believe the scriptures anymore. They can't be corrected, etc. "I left the apartment in search of food." So she saw that she shouldn't be in that room because that was where they are massacring people. And she got away from there, which is what everybody should do with the factious. Everybody. "I left the apartment in search for food. I found a large plate of salmon sushi and ate it." And they said, "Spiritually, I think the sushi represents the raw, real, lean, healthy Word of God." Well, we must seek out and consume the meat of the Word and stay spiritually healthy in order to be able to fight against these spirits of faction that are constantly seeking to destroy us and drag us to hell. And then I went back to the apartment and I saw that the front door handle had been removed so that the younger girl could not close the door to have privacy or to be alone or safe at all. The door would always remain open. Yep, when you've left an open door for these people to come through it, they will do it. Open doors to evil spirits because of sin and unforgiveness will keep these people vulnerable and in torment and at Satan's mercy. The men were ready to kill her. She was in a bath, shaving her legs, and I said to her, You need to pay attention to what's happening around you. They are playing you. Can't you see it? I said, get dressed and leave and don't come back. She answered, oh, I'll always come here. Look how well everything goes here. She was just so slow, she couldn't or wouldn't understand. Well, sitting in a bathtub full of your own dirty water and trying to get clean represents the deception and false security of a false salvation and worshiping a false Jesus that allows you to be forgiven without true repentance. They came in and saw me talking to her. They tried to be friendly to me, but they couldn't hide their hatred for me. I knew that they'd make her death look like a suicide, but that they'd kill this woman before the day was done. Well, we've noticed situations like that, and people wouldn't listen, and yep, they were taken out. So this is a very common thing around the factious. They're lurking and trying to kill people. The factious always deny any responsibility for their words, just like this text, and actions in causing others to fall away from the truth. They deny that they have spiritually killed their brethren with the poison of their mouths. I rebuked the factious leader one time for destroying a family by lying to the husband about the wife, which he did. He destroyed that family, and the husband was too slow of brain to figure out what was going on. Yeah. I thought, I don't need to be here. The smell of death came back to me. I left and I walked into another apartment. It had a door handle that closed. And before I knocked, one of the brothers from Greater UBM opened the door for me and told me that there were two extra rooms in this apartment, so I could pick one of five bedrooms. And I immediately thought of grace, because that's what the number five represents. And then I noticed that there were many beds in the apartment, so it was easy for people to rest. More than five of us were there, but I can't remember who the others were. The materials that UBM puts out teach people how to be believers and how to have faith and rest in the promises of God. So this is what this may represent. Okay. And then I woke up. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random, and my finger landed on Lord Jesus Christ and brethren. So it was on two lines, right? In context, 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 15. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What? Chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Salvation is being manifested as you are sanctified. The manifestation of your salvation is sanctification. And belief of the truth brings about sanctification. Whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle of ours. Some, not all, are saved. 2 Peter 2:10 through 22 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of defilement and despise dominion. They're daring, self-willed. They tremble not to rail or speak against dignities. Whereas angels, through greater in might and power, bring not a railing judgment against them before the Lord. But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals, to be taken and destroyed. That's God's opinion. Railing, in matters whereof they are ignorant. That's their nature. Shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the hire of wrongdoing. Men that count it pleasure to revel in the daytime spots and blemishes. Reveling in their deceivings while they feast with you. Yes, they are. They get together and they talk about their deceivings. How they're going to deceive you. How they're going to send a witch in your midst to speak a curse and try to kill you. Yes, yeah. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. They cannot. And they are full of adultery. Enticing unsteadfast souls, having a heart exercised in covetousness. They're thieves. Yeah. Children of cursing. Forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. But he was rebuked for his own transgression. A dumb ass spoke with a man's voice, and stayed the madness of the prophet. And he was caught talking to an ass. Carrying on a conversation. Oh my goodness. And 17. These are springs without water, and mists driven by a storm, for whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved. For uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in the lusts of the flesh by lasciviousness. In other words, a license to do anything you want to do, right? Those who are just escaping from them that live in error, promising them liberty. Yes, liberty from the constrictions of the Word of God. While they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world, so that's got to be a saved person, right? Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. In other words, they are not saved. Worse not saved than at their beginning. For it were better for them to not have known the way of righteousness, and after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. A very good description of them turning back to the most corrupt and sinful life. Okay, we call this next one, which was given to Claire Pinar, 7421. The fat lady attacks the bride but fails. I dreamed I was in a large wooden cabin. And there was a teacher there, representing Jesus, or maybe even Jesus and the man-child, who was teaching us about the Word. The cabin represents our wilderness tribulation training, and our teacher is Jesus, who is the Word made flesh. Okay? There were a few who did not believe as we did, and split off into other smaller groups. Well, this is very similar to that first dream we shared, right? The factious demons separate their victims from the unleavened bread of the Word of God. They want to pick and choose the verses just before they end up refusing all verses. And so it's always easy for them to separate from the true believers. Romans 16 and 17 warns us Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions. Mark them so everybody knows who they are. And occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. If you don't obey that, you'll get taken down. There was a woman there whom I was praying for. She was wearing a brown cape. There's that brown again. And looked like a druid. They were a high-ranking class in ancient Celtic cultures. Druids were religious leaders as well as legal authorities, adjudicators, lore keepers, medical professionals, and political advisors. Druids left no written accounts. She had long, long brown wavy hair, and she was big and fat. Well, okay, all these things look pretty negative here. People who are overcome by their flesh, like fat, and believe that they will still have authority in the church, do not. Not from God, right? They are the kind of people that God separates from the body for its own good. Romans 16 and 18. I read 17 to you. Here's 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Well, many times when these self-willed people can't get their way, they try to faction people away from the body. There are so many people associated with Christianity that have cultic demons and believe that their way is the only way. And you can see them coming, and their mouth is ever going, and they're very proud. She ran out of the wooden cabin and was intent on getting away from my prayers for her. I kept on calling to her, Jesus can heal you. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Well, the demons that possess these people don't want them to be delivered because then they will lose their house. John 12, 37 through 40 says, But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the words of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And for this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hath hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and should turn and I should heal them. The disciples had the same complaint, got the same answer from Jesus. And that was when the man-child started his ministry there, and he told them, to you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. And so he turned them over to this reprobate mind. Just like it's happening right now as the man-child's coming on the scene, exactly again. The teacher said to me, she has left now. And I said, but surely she'll receive the truth. He said, I'll let you go. So then I ran outside calling after this woman. Everybody needs this lesson, you know, and this is basically what the teacher is saying. Okay, I'll let you go. Go try it. See what you can do. So went calling after this woman, and I kept on calling to her. It's true that we would like to see them all saved and delivered. And many times we keep striving with them and in prayer, hoping that the Lord will grant them repentance and faith and so on. But the Lord knows who belongs to Him and who doesn't. And he causes the ones who are reprobated to leave us because he wants a spotless and blemishless bride. He won't tolerate leaven in his body. I watched her as she scaled a pencil pine tree, a tree with very narrow limbs. I thought, my goodness, how will these thin branches hold your weight? You're not being smart. Come on, just come down so Jesus can heal you. Matthew 7 and 6 says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest haply they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. Well, this is the situation here because we read on. Then I watched her pick up a huge beam or log. It looked like a battering ram, and in my spirit I heard the teacher say, that's the fiery arrow. Yeah. Proverbs 25:18 says, a man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Psalm 11:2 says, for lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. I thought to myself, this will be like a stake that's driven right through me. She's aiming it right for me. It'll go through my chest. And the note that was put here, the mother's heart in the bride labors when her children suffer in their rebellion or suffer the persecution of others. It's cruel and foolish to mess with the fruit of God's elect. And Rion said, the Lord is fed up with the fat lady who doesn't want simple prayers of faith, but instead threatens the bride with a beam from her own eye. Yeah, the faction are always accusing the righteous of the very things that they're guilty of. In Matthew 7:1-6 clearly states this, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, it you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me cast out the mote out of thine eye, and lo, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eyes. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest haply they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. Yes, indeed, it happens. Then I looked around and realized I was standing in an open space. She had a clear path straight to me. Well, Claire's note is, we are not hidden because we are in the light, and yet we have supernatural protection because we abide in the secret place of the Most High. This is true. So people look for a natural safety, and when instead there is a spiritual safety that covers everything. I prayed, and immediately my silver van appeared right in front of me. and the wooden beam skidded over the silver van. Her note is, my silver van has routinely represented the Holy Spirit's guidance and protection in my dreams. And this represents the full armor of God, as the van covered me completely. Yeah, Ephesians 6:10-17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Some people don't stand. They're, you know, taken down. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. There you go. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then I woke up. I opened my Bible by faith at random for a verse for this dream and received Jeremiah 16:7. In context, 5-9. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament, neither bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord, even loving kindness and tender mercies, both great and small, shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men break bread for them in mourning, to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. And thou shalt not go into the house of feasting to sit with them, to eat and to drink. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place and before your eyes in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. In other words, the bride and groom will not be found among the factious or apostates. Will not. I said to the Lord, give me a personal word concerning this dream, a confirmation of my right standing with you. I opened my Bible by faith at random and received Malachi 3:12. And my finger was on, you shall be a delight. So Malachi 3:12. And in all nations shall call you happy, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you happy. Pretty good. Praise God. Good promise. Okay, this one is also given to Claire. A man-child endures apostates to receive the prize. Mm-hmm. And she said, I dreamed David Eales was standing on a wooden stage with a red velvet stage curtain drawn close behind him. He was on the right side of the stage, but to the audience it would have been left. As we will see, right and left can be a matter of perception, and the devil can pervert and twist the perception of individuals that have fallen into faction. And he generally does. So Isaiah 5, 20 through 30 says this: Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, that justify the wicked for a bribe, and that take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Yes, that's what they do. Well, David was preaching about the crucified life, the stages of glory, and death to self. He had a black microphone in his hand. His hair was shining, and his teeth were white. When we stick basically only to what the Bible says, what comes out of our mouths is purity and righteousness. Romans 10, 12 through 15. For the same Lord is Lord of all, and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. There was a lady with the reddish-brown curly hair, again, who had a big bottom half. Uh-oh. So, let me say, faction turns these people into big, stubborn asses because the Lord reprobates them because of their hardness of heart and their stubborn rebellion. And if you don't believe it, listen to this. Hosea 8, 8 and 9. Israel is swallowed up. Now are they among the nations as a vessel wherein none delighteth. For they are gone up to Assyria like a wild ass, alone by himself. Yep. And you remember what the Arabs who separated from Abraham's lineage were called in the Bible wild ass. It's because they and their hand was against every man, and every man's hand was against them. So she was dressed in a beige pantsuit, representing a factious Jezebel spirit. And on the left side of the stage, too, the audience's right side. Yeah. So this woman represents a corporate body of the Edomites who were descended from Esau, which means red and hairy. Esau is the father of all those who faction against their brother in hatred and in bitterness. Spiritual father, right? They are the goats that Jesus put on the left in Malachi 25 and 33. Hebrews 12, 14 through 17 says, "Follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord." Now, they cannot deceive you. Sanctification is separation by the word of God of you from the worldly and from sin. That's what it is. And he's saying, without this, you will not see him. You can't be deceived. "Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you." Be careful of this. They want to put their root of bitterness on you. Be very careful. "And thereby the many be defiled." Yes, many have been defiled since the first perverts started this sequence of events. "Lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright." So for following after the flesh, that's what I say, he sold his birthright. "For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for a change of mind, and it has in parenthesis in his father." But actually, he had no change of mind. He could not stop doing what he was doing. "Though he sought it diligently with tears." He couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. You know, God grants repentance. If he don't grant repentance, you might want it, but you can't get it. "There was someone smaller with her, but he or she left quite quickly." Well, they quickly lose whatever fruit of Christ that they had. "This lady had a megaphone and asked a question to David. 'Why do you preach this so openly? What about the children? You might offend them. What about the new in faith?'" Obviously, she's somebody that's new in faith. Sometimes our immaturity causes us to want to receive the truth of the harder messages, but we need the meat of the word to be able to grow up spiritually. And many lukewarm preachers won't preach the hard messages because they don't want to offend anyone and lose their tithers. And usually when people decide that they don't want to grow anymore and go on further with the Lord, they end up factioning away from the true believers in order to bless the true believers so that they don't get leavened, right? John 6, 52 through 71 says this, "The Jews therefore strove one with another, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Jesus therefore said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves.'" And it's still true today, folks. "He that eateth my flesh," he was the Word made flesh, "and drinketh my blood," which is the wine that we partake of and profess that we are partaking of his blood and not our parents' blood, right? "And drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." We can tell if we're of the blood of Jesus or not, can't you? It's because you act like him, talk like him, walk like him. "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him." And down to verse 60, it says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying.'" Oh my goodness, Jesus did those hard sayings too. Who can hear it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said unto them, Does this cause you to stumble? You notice Jesus didn't even try to explain himself. Hey, say, wait, come back. Let me explain. No, he knew. He that is of God hears the words of God. Doth this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who it was that should betray him, the Judases, who are factious people, and full of rejection. And he said, For this cause have I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it be given unto him of the Father. This is true. And notice this next verse number. It's John 6:6-6. Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Oh, there you are. These are the 666. They are members of the body of the beast. That's why they did not receive Jesus and didn't stay with him, because they're falling away to be with their kind. 67. Jesus said, therefore, unto the 12, Would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, Did not I choose you, the 12? And one of you is a devil. Listen, there are lots of devils out there. There are lots of sons of perdition out there. They're scattered among the people. What is their job? To bring to crucifixion the righteous and to separate the wicked. This is their job. This is what they do. This is the only ministry that the faction has. The only one. Now, he spake of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And that, of course, means a man who is a city. You know that the Judas is a man who is a city of people. Just like the righteous are a city. You know? For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And Claire said, For a moment in the dream, I thought about all the times that I've let my children listen to David while I'm driving, and when there's slight talk of child sacrifice, it is probably challenging for them to hear, but I remind them about Molech and Baal and Hinduism, and that without serving the one true God with a new heart, people are evil. Very true. And in the dream, I agreed in my mind that sometimes I don't want my children to hear it, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't. This was all going on in my mind in the dream. I don't think this makes me factious. Instead, it makes me willing to receive a hard message. Yes, we do have to receive hard messages. David replied, That's exactly what the apostate church does. They keep it light for new ones, and no one ever grows up. David laughed a little and then shook his head. Hebrews 5:5-14. So Christ also glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that spake unto him said, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Skipping down to 11. of whom we have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing that ye are become dull of hearing. For when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and of not of solid food. Listen, I know people who have been in the faction since 2000 and, well, actually before that, but this latest faction movement since around 2010, I would say. They have wasted their whole life. They don't even have the milk. They destroyed their families. They don't teach them the word. They don't read the word. All they do is sacrifice children. Yeah, that's all they do. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And when you put the word of God in your heart, you can become a full-grown man, and you can have an exercised heart and senses to know good from evil. This lady then lost it. Everyone realized she had a factious spirit, and she admitted it. I can't stand it here, and I go against the great David Eales. No one would have that. No need to push me out. I'll leave of my own volition. Hail, Dictator David. Hail, Captain of the Cult. And she stormed off. No one followed her, and David just went right on teaching. Yep, because this is a matter of God's work. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, let us also, seeing that we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Lay it aside. Lay aside your weights, your distractions, your sin. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that you wax not weary, fainting in your souls. Yes, all those who are in training to be in the man-child will have the same kind of stupid insults from these people. But, as you can see, they have to endure such gainsaying of sinners against themselves, as it was with Jesus. I received Daniel 5:23 by faith at random about this dream, in context 20 through 29. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. There they are again. He was fed with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he setteth up over it whomsoever he wills. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this. We have many factious who knew everything I'm saying now, and they knew it to be the truth until they fell into it, and then you couldn't convince them of anything. Hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted thyself up against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. Thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine from them. In other words, abused the vessels of God, and they have. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand is thy breath, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from before him, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art also weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Guess what? Babylon was given to the Medes and the Persians. And today, the same thing. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold about his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that was the night when Cyrus Trump was coming in the door. Then I asked God for a word by faith at random for David Eales specifically, and my finger was both on the verse, 1 Corinthians 9:24, and on the footnote in the margin that says Hebrews 12:1, 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run, that you may attain." Yes, we run to receive a prize. And Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, let us also, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Amen. We run with patience the race that is set before us. We get insults from the foolish and the factious, and that's all part of it. Jesus had to put up with it as a type of the end-time man-child. I believe that there are some who will be resurrected from this worthless dead state of constant sin against God and man. I do. And I'm going to share this with you very quickly. This is Rian Pinar's revelation called "Some Resurrected from Spiritual Death Just Before the Tribulation." Got this on 7/9/21. "I dreamed I was with my family. My mother, sister, and brother-in-law were there. We heard a thud and saw a bird that had dropped dead out of the sky just before it got to the tree line of a forest." Well, I believe the bird here represents those who were overcomers of the world, but lost their life just before reaching the wilderness tribulation. "We walked over, and my sister commented on how stiff the bird was," meaning it was spiritually dead for a while before it lost its position of overcoming in the heavenlies. "It was a beautiful bird. It looked like a mix between a kingfisher and a lilac-breasted roller, with bright light blue and white wings." Maybe the words kingfisher and lilac, he says, all refer to Christ and his death and resurrection. Okay, and my comment is these were fishers for the king before they died. They were heavenly daylight blue, representing their heavenly abode. Their wings were white because the power to overcome the world, which is what wings do, they cause you to overcome the world, right? Gravity, which is representative of sin, right? Their wings were white because the power to overcome the world is purity and holiness. They were in the body of Christ, partakers of his death to self and resurrection life before spiritual death took them. While they were talking and standing around the bird, I slowly picked up the dead bird, cupped my hands over it, and blew softly on it to resurrect it. Well, Rion means little king, and he represents the man-child whose words will be prophetically brought to pass as the falling and the rising of many. Listen to the prophecy, Luke 2:34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against. Yes, they speak against the man-child, but the man-child will be for the falling, because he will prophesy the destruction of the wicked and the rising of many, because he will bring about the resurrection life to those whom God chooses. So I opened my hands and the bird flew away. This reminds me of the return of the prodigal son. It came to me that Luke 15:24 fits this pretty good. For this is my son was dead and is alive again. He fell away. He was dead. He is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. Well, amen. I agree. I was suddenly overcome and fell on my face and worshiped God, Rion said, realizing that I was wearing all white. And I walked away without saying a word, all the while praising the Lord. It was wonderful. I was so calm and beautiful. It was like I was watching myself. And then he goes on to talk about slow motion. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Psalm 58:10-11. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. There's the two sides again. The resurrection of some, the death of others. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men shall say, Verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily there is a God that judgeth in the earth. Well, amen. Wow, this is a really good fit here with the text and the verses and everything. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing for us, O Lord. Thank you for delivering us from evil, O Lord. Thank you for granting us grace to be overcomers, O Lord. Thank you for what you do in our lives, O Lord. We praise and we worship you, and we praise and we worship all the word that you have given unto us. Amen. Okay, but I'm going to go on and share another one with you here. God wants to straighten out our faith, and this was given to Vanessa Weeks, 6:28-21. In a dream, I was sitting in a white room that was empty except for a white rocking chair. We should be empty of everything that is not the kingdom and rest in the Lord's righteousness. Amen. I agree. And also, I think that the more we empty ourselves, the more of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit we will have. Thank you, Father, that through your gift of faith, it is no longer we that live, but it's Christ who lives in us. Amen. I was sitting in this chair and praying. I was saying, Jesus, Jesus, and waves of the Holy Spirit were washing over me. Have you ever experienced that? It's amazing. It's astounding. It was an amazing presence of the Lord. Yes. Then I was at the Shaw's house, standing with a few other brethren on the front of the couch. That could be the porch, because this sometimes changes words. Michael, which means who is like God, was saying something like, who wants more of the Holy Spirit? And I said, I do. How about you? Do you? Tell him. Tell the Lord. I want more of the Holy Spirit. It's God's desire for us to be filled more and more with his Holy Spirit and to come into his image. So then I saw that he was straightening the picture that is on the wall above the couch. Okay. I did not see what the picture was in the dream, but when I saw it in reality at the meeting that night, it was the faith plaque. It has faith written across it in fancy word letters. God is wanting to straighten us out on faith. It's his gift to us, but we must exercise it to receive all of his promises and his heavenly benefits, right? I was surprised to see Michael and said, how did you get here so fast? Since we knew that he had just been on a trip to Arkansas. And when we truly desire God's will for us, he performs it quickly, doesn't he? And then I woke up. And I asked the Lord for a word for this dream. And received by faith at random, Luke 24:11, in context 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came unto the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, while they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were affrighted and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Good question. He is not here, but is arisen. Amen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And it's still true about the Son of Man today, who are man-childs. Like Ezekiel, for instance, he went through the same thing. He was called over and over and over the Son of Man. Okay, Jesus was pointing out his humanity, which was passed on through David to him. And, of course, he is a type of also the humanity of the man-child, in whom the Son of God lives. Of course, we know that in Jesus' Son of Man dwelt the Son of God. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them told these things unto the apostles. And these words appeared in their sight as idle talk. And they disbelieved them. How crazy can you get? Look at all the people who saw this and heard this. And they disbelieved them. Well, it was just impossible to them, even though they had seen Jesus resurrect the dead. It was just impossible. But Peter arose. Peter got a suspicion. Hey, maybe they're right. Peter arose and ran unto the tomb. And stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen cloths by themselves. And he departed to his home, wondering at that which was come to pass. In other words, ooh, where is this going? Yeah, where is this going? Well, why seek ye the living among the dead? Don't hang out with the dead. The living are not there. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for this study that you've given unto us. We thank you that your mercy reaches out to us even now and delivers us from the wicked. We ask for a quick work in our lives, Lord. We renounce distractions at this time. This is the most important time. People are going to fall away just before the reward comes, as you have said in this revelation. And we ask you, Lord, to grant repentance to your people. Have them seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, and to be cleansed of all unrighteousness, so that they will be ready at your coming. We ask it in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen. All right, saints, thank you so much for joining us today. God be with you and bless you mightily. In the name of Jesus. Good night.